The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm is probably the best known and beloved psalm in the Bible. It is known by many as the Shepherd Psalm. It gets this, of course, because its first verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It is the psalm that is most memorized by children in Sunday school, and the one that many turn to in times of grief. We turn to the shepherd who walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us. Now, I'm a fan of learning Bible verses by heart. I've been at a church when we started talking about the Bible, and we'd, you know, have our Bible study, and they'd say, what verse is that? What page is that? And someone said, let's look it up. And we started to look it up, but remembered that we didn't have a Bible in the church. What? We got the prayer book, we got the hymnal, but where is the Word of God? Kind of like on the table over there. There's the hymnals and the prayer books. But they still ask me, when I said, well, let's get a Bible and put it in all the pews. And they said, what? What would we do with it? I actually have people say, what would we do with it? And I'd say, well, we could read it, you know. And I thought so. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll even make it so that I always make sure to point to what page I'm on in the Bible and quote right from it. But it is kind of funny to imagine people, and they got upset about it. They got the Bibles, but some people were actually upset about having them in church. I thought, boy, we need some work over to here. Anyway, see, I think scripture verses are like spiritual gifts that we carry around with us. So I think it's a good idea, you know, to encourage children to learn some of the best love passages in the Bible. You know, get a nice 3x5 card, maybe even in colors, and the pen to write with. But children are like adults. They don't always get the words exactly right. Because I read about a Sunday school child who recited the 23rd Psalm perfectly. That was her assignment. And she did it near perfectly. The psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," came out, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Now, she didn't get that word perfect, if you will, but I think she got it right. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. It really helped me to think about the gospel today and the psalm because of that story. If Jesus is my shepherd, guiding me along the path of life, I have everything that I want. Jesus is all I want, all I need. Everything else is secondary. Because if I don't have Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, I'm missing out on something that's very important. Don't you agree?
Sure.
Oh, good. See, it was like that Bible thing. It just stared at me. I need Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, as Lord and Savior of my life. I can have everything else, But if I don't have that, it's like having a donut hole but no donut. And that's happened to me. There's a clever story of a college professor who is given a beautiful and ancient lamp that had come from the Middle East. And some people thought it had a genie in it, you know. So he brought it to his faculty meeting at the college, and the antiquities professor grabbed it immediately and began to rub the lamp, kind of for fun, you know. He started rubbing the lamp, but suddenly, behold, a genie appeared, offering one wish with three choices. You can have either great wealth, great wisdom, or great health. You choose. Oh boy. But without hesitation, the professor rejected all the other choices and chose wisdom. And just as quickly, the genie disappeared in a cloud of smoke. The other faculty members turned to the professor, who was surrounded now by a halo of golden light to reflect his new wisdom. Something clearly had happened to him. He had wisdom among the wise. Finally, the dean of the college came up and he whispered, "Speak to us. You know, what wisdom do you have to impart?" And the professor, much wiser now, sighed and said, "You know, I think I should have taken the money." Now, I disagree with that. I want you to know. I laugh at that story along with you, but it goes completely against everything I've been saying or believing. I'm saying that I choose the shepherd over wealth, over wisdom, over health, over anything. And I may wish to have all three, but I still believe that without the shepherd to guide me, the other things just don't amount to that much. Like the little girl in my story, the shepherd is all I want. The 23rd Psalm is also called the Psalm of Abundant Life, because from the gospel, Jesus tells us that he will bring to us abundant life. And because in the Good Shepherd I have found that abundant life, I know what it means for God to revive my soul, what it means to be guided along right pathways for his namesake. In darkness, he is my light. When I stumble, he is my rod and my staff. There is no one else who can take the place of the Good Shepherd in my life. There was no one else I trust as much as Jesus. George Adam Smith, who is a 19th century biblical scholar, tells of traveling one day in the Holy Land and coming across a shepherd with his sheep. He fell into conversation, in Hebrew, with the shepherd, and the man showed him the pen in which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls, and one of the walls was really not much more than an opening for the way in. And Smith asked him, "This is where they go at night?" And he said, "Yes. And when they are in, they are perfectly safe. But there's an opening, but no door." And Smith said, "I am the door." He was speaking like a shepherd. Smith looked at him and asked, "What do you mean you are the door?" "At night when the light has gone," said the shepherd, "and all the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space, and no sheep ever go out without crossing my body. And no wolf can come in unless he too tries to cross over me. I am the door," said the shepherd, "and I will make sure nothing happens to my sheep." And that's very much like what Jesus says. He says, "I am the door." Jesus tells us that he is the door, the shepherd, the one who protects the sheep in the same way that this shepherd protects his flock. It may look as if there's no door, but the shepherd becomes the door. He becomes the door that keeps the sheep safe inside and predators on the outside. Each night, the shepherd calls his sheep by name and literally lays down his life for the sheep, just as Jesus did on the cross, freely and lovingly. As Jesus moves towards the cross in today's gospel, he gives us the image of the good shepherd, the one who willingly lays down his life for the sheep. He is not like the hired hand who runs away at any sign of danger. The good shepherd protects the sheep from the wolves and seek to destroy the flock. And we know there are plenty of people and plenty of things that would destroy our souls and bodies. We are surrounded by them. People and things that gladly would lead us astray. But the shepherd walks ahead of his flock. He leads them into safe pasture. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And yes, the shepherd seeks to increase his flock. Jesus said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." It is for that flock that Christ died, and we are his sheep and his shepherd. He is our shepherd. We are to increase the body of Christ, not only to fill our pews or chairs, you know, in our case, or to show something good on an annual report that goes to the diocese, but rather to fill the hearts of all of God's people with the love of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Like the little girl said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And that's all I need." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.